Hello and welcome back to the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, but you may know me better as LTG. In today's episode, we'll be talking about the US Women's National Team's Olympic roster, which dropped on Wednesday. I'm so excited to see this amazing team bought on the field, but first, let's break it down in simple terms so you all can be prepared for when they take the field in July. This might be boring because a lot of episodes kind of do this for podcasts, but I wanted to start off just giving my basic reaction to when the roster was dropped. So first, I'll talk about the goalkeeping position. This is not surprising to me at all. I had this all planned out in one of my previous USA episodes, which you should have listened to, hopefully, maybe. Okay, if not, that's okay. But I had Murphy and Nair in net because Nair obviously is the most experienced goalkeeping in the pool right now, and she's just been one of the players on this US team that has always been a guarantee for the Olympic roster. She's always had a great performance at the international level. Her performances are sublime, to say the least. She scores a penalty kick in the She Believes Cup final. She's just as good as stopping them. So Nair's just someone who you can always rely on, which is what this team needs. It's such a young roster. So for Nair to get called up is a very easy decision. It was inevitable, and I think she's easily going to be the starting goalkeeper, but that's not to take away from Casey Murphy, who has really been impressive in the recent friendlies, which we saw against South Korea. She played the latter game, and Campbell, who's the alternate goalie on this roster, played the first game, but Murphy's performance just was better. Campbell looked a little shaky in the back. She didn't really have to do much, but whenever she did have to do stuff, she didn't look as assertive as Murphy did, and Murphy's a much younger goalkeeper. Different kind of keeper than Nair. Nair's more of a traditional stopper. Murphy's a taller keeper, but she's also good at playing out of the back. Campbell and Nair are much similar in style of play. So we know that Emma has talked a lot about how she really wants versatility on that roster, and she wants, even the goalkeeping pool, I would presume, do two different goalkeepers that could play two different styles of football. And that's big because the goalkeeper in modern day football isn't just a shot stopper. They build out, and which is going to be disappointing for Campbell. But at the end of the day, Emma has clearly shown her priorities. And she honestly has shown a little bit of favoritism towards European players and the European style of play, with players like Albert making this roster, along with Macario. Macario is deserved. We'll talk about Albert in a few minutes. But overall, Campbell not making this roster does make sense. She just hasn't been good enough with her feet for her to be in consideration for the U.S. team, because you can't just be a good shot stopper. You have to do more. And Nair's shot stopping is just that good, and she is decent with her feet. So that's my little tidbit on the goalkeeping. But now on the defense, I think Girma is clearly the star of this team, and I want to talk about why. At such a young age, Girma was tasked with stepping up into that back line at the World Cup last summer, which obviously didn't go great from an attacking standpoint, with the U.S. failing to score many goals. And there are three games of the World Cup, when you don't include that Vietnam beginning game, they only scored one goal. So it really shows you how the defense wasn't actually the problem. It was the offense. And Girma was a big part, even at such a young age, of the defense. She doesn't look fazed at all by the pressure and the competition, which is why it's good that she has that Olympic experience. And a lot of these players in the camp were new to big tournaments last summer at the World Cup, and we're gonna hope that they can use that experience, though it was a negative one, and bring it to the Olympic roster and the Olympic tournament, because at the end of the day, there are a lot of players that are a lot of experience, and especially with the front line, which we'll talk about later, leaving off players like Alex Morgan and Lynn Williams means you need players with that experience to step up. So I'll talk a little bit more about this backline besides Nick Girma, who I think is obviously the starter, but paired next to her, Tiern Davison is someone who I've really loved watching more in person as she's moved to Gotham FC. Same with the other player who will presumably be a center back in Emily Sonnet. They both have such good ball control, which is something that's been very impressive, and Girma has that as well. I think it's going to be really fun to get to see this younger duo of players. I think, especially considering it's cool that these two played together at Stanford, if I'm not mistaken, that partnership and building bond is already there. And as I said, that connection will continue to build and grow under the helm of Emma Hayes. But she had only the best things to say about Tiern. I think Girma, obviously she had great things to say about her as well, but she was a lock. That player next to her, though, wasn't. And it's good to see that Davidson has been a player that has done a good job and and that is a coach who obviously we trust because she is amazing. Moving on, obviously, to the fullbacks, Emily Fox and Jenna Nisbonger are the two that I expect to start, but I am very, very fond of Casey Krueger just as much. So, funnily enough, Fox and Krueger have the same exact amount of caps, but Fox, even though she is a younger player, has just been dominant for Arsenal. I talk all the time whenever I talk about Emily Fox, about the goal that Vivian Miedema scored that Fox had such a big part in. She was able to cut inside and just play a diagonal ball into space, which I think I would love to see the fullbacks do more of nowadays. There's such a preconceived notion and tendency that fullbacks always just have to beat players on the outside, but I love watching how they can just cut inside, and that's something that Emily Fox just does so fluidly, and it really makes us such a big impact on the build-up play. It's so fun to watch her play on Arsenal. I will say, on the US team, she hasn't had that freedom yet, but we know that she will continue to develop it as she continues getting more of a chance, and obviously she did a pretty good job at the World Cup last summer, and hopefully those skills will just continue to develop and grow. So she is such a good player in that back line, and having a fullback who does have this big tournament experience is big, because the other starting fullback is new to big tournaments, and that is Jenna Nisbonger, another player I've had the privilege of watching close up at Gotham FC. Nisbonger, someone who is not afraid to join in the attack, one of my favorite players to watch, a golden left foot that can play a beautiful service, great on set pieces from delivery, not in the box. She's not tall. No offense, Jenna, you're great, but more on the delivery side in set pieces. Anyway, she is just someone who really can beat players 1v1. My one concern of her, though, is getting beat over the top against better teams, especially even at the Olympics when every team is amazing. Like, the weakest team in our group, quote-unquote, according to FIFA rankings, is Zambia. Both players like Barbara Banda and Rachel Kudinaji, it's not good if Jenna Nisbonger gets caught out of position, because they'll be punished. And so I do want her to work with that idea a little bit more, because we've seen it on Gotham, that Rodman goal last week, she got caught out of position. There was a few other chances that Berger saved the team of Gotham from, like, in that game against Washington. But overall, Nisbonger is great moving up the pitch. Obviously, she is a attacking-born player who was converted to a fullback, so it'll be interesting to see if she continues to play there for the rest of her career. It's gone really well so far, so I wouldn't see why not. But it's been so fun to get to see her freedom and fluidity in that back line, and her I guess you could say, to get forward. But in the end of the day, in the international competition, she will need to make sure she doesn't get caught out. So the midfield is a more controversial point of this roster, and that's due to one name. Yeah, I think you all know who it is. It's Corbin Albert. As I talk about her in this episode, I will try to distinguish her on-field performance as well for PSG, which actually has been quite good, I will admit. She is a player who's very technical, and that's very basic, because she obviously has that skill set built into her because she's thriving in Europe. But I love her freedom to just play passes. She's really good on the ball. There's a goal she scored in the Champions League from long range, showing her abilities. I honestly, though, haven't really been that impressed with her on the US team, which is why I'm not just because of the horrendous thing she said, but because of her play. I don't even know if she deserves to be on this roster. I'm going to be honest here. There's players on this team that I really think could have made a bigger difference. I know that she's not a center defensive midfielder. I get that. But I really wish that Cori Bethune could have been fit on here somehow. I just think the form that she's in, it's impossible not to leave her out of this roster. Apparently Emma Hayes disagrees with that. And I don't really care, to be honest, if she has no caps, because Savannah DeMello was on the roster with no caps, so it feels a little hypocritical to do that. I know Vlatko was not a great coach, but still, I just don't get why she's not on the roster, Bethune. She's a generational player who's going to be a star on the US team in the future. That's kind of obvious. Everyone has been telling us this for a while, and to see her just, like, come into the league with no, I guess, growing pains is so cool. And not to just Caitlin Clark, who's also an amazingly talented player, but she did have to take some time to adjust, and she's doing great now. But at the end of the day, it's so hard. I use that analogy because it shows how it's so hard for any player of any skill set to adjust, and that's not against them. It's because the pro game is a step up. But Bethune has just stepped in and just looks like she doesn't care if it's pro player. She's just going to beat you up. And I think it was so fun getting to see her in person for the second time this season. I traveled to see Gotham play Washington, and she obviously scored scored that long distance goal in a game. And to avoid being too specific, all this season long, she's been proving her ability to play with both feet, not just shooting, but her passing has been sublime. And considering that she'll have teammates like Sophia Smith, Trittany Rodman, Jaden Shaw, Mallory Swanson in the front line, and Crystal Dunn as well, I should add in there, I can just get in behind back lines. It's so. Okay, they get the point, Liam. Frustrating that she's not on this roster because besides Jaden and Katarina, and I guess Rose Lavelle as well, Lavelle's more of a player who likes to drive up the ball rather than play in behind, but those players are just, like, really good at what they do. But what Bethune does is a different, I guess, skill that we don't really see in American-born players that often. Her creativity is similar to what we'd see in a South American player or a British player, is her composure. And I love how she's very patient. She doesn't play a stupid pass if she doesn't have that runner. But when there's that runner, she will play the ball and it will be perfect, which is why, I don't know, it just really bugs me that she's on this roster. Corbin, going back to her, I just don't really think she's been good for this team, I'm not gonna lie. Coffee's better, in my opinion. You could put Haran in the six. There could be Sonnet played in the six. There's so many options for the six. I just don't get why we need Albert on this roster. I would get it, honestly, if Sam Coffey wasn't available, but she is available, apparently, so why is Albert here? I mean, you don't really need a defensive midfielder off the bench when you have Sonnet, who will be on the bench and who can be that player. You have Haran, who could peel back into that space. So there's a lot of options on this team for that position, whereas I don't really think there's a player who will be on the bench. In my opinion, Jaden Shaw should start for this team. We'll get to that a little bit later. I have my starting lineup planned out. But I don't really see a player on the bench who could do what Bethune does. And even if Bethune just puts in 10, 20 minutes, the pressure she'll put in the back line through her passing and through her shots would just be such an asset that apparently Emma thinks we don't need. So I guess we'll just move on from that now. Coffey is someone who's obviously been vital to the team ever since she was incorporated in after the World Cup. She's so composed on the ball. She's very good in possession. She loves building out of the back, which is an instrumental part of how Emma wants to play for this team. Or rather wants to instruct this team to play as a unit and with be more passive and understanding of the beauty of playing football with the ball. And I think Coffey really just fits that. Her style of play, again, really just reads like someone who Emma would love to have at Chelsea. And so it totally makes sense why she's loving having her on the US team. And I can't wait to see what she does this summer. Moving on to, I think, the obviously leader of the team, it's Lindsay Horan. Even though she hasn't been the player who stepped up the most for Lyon in the Champions League, there's been a lot of other talents on that team that kind of overshadowed her at sometimes. She just does the dirty work that you can't really forget, even if it's not always acknowledged. What she does is so amazing, and she also is that player who will get the clutch goals. The reality is, there's no Alex Morgan. There's not really. The leaders that have been there in the past are gone, right? They're not here anymore. We're stuck with this kind of exciting generation, but they don't really have the experience. And that's why Haran just becomes even more vital than she already is. She's a player you don't take off the field. And I think her creativity and her just ability on the ball is so good. People can diss her and say she's not as explosive as other players. Yeah, she's not, but that's not what she does. She holds up play. She's a box-to-box eight. She's someone who will win that header. She has that, I guess, aggressive mentality that this team needs in this DNA that was missing from the last World Cup, where they looked flat and sad, and they looked really just bland. It looked pathetic at points. And this Olympic roster is not going to be pathetic. It's going to be fiery. It's going to be energetic. It's going to help you be taken aback by how crazy it is. And the next two players we're talking about will be a big part of that. Rose Lavelle and Katarina Macario didn't play big roles. Macario missed the World Cup roster entirely because of her injury, whereas Lavelle was on the roster but had a lot of injury problems going in and wasn't able to play in the knockout stage match due to the fact that she got a yellow card, too many yellow cards. So overall, these two players are just, even though they're very different, they can both play the attacking midfield role and really influence the side. Macario almost played like a false nine at points for Chelsea this year, who was able to peel out and really have a lot of freedom that I don't think she'll get on this U.S. team, considering that we love our players like Mal and Trittany on the wings along with Soph. But Kat, I think, would be best in the midfield role. There's so much depth in this team, which is what is going to make it so influential. But having her now back, I cannot understate how important that's going to be for the team. Kat is just someone who's a baller. She can finish from whatever on the pitch. Look at her She Believes Cup highlights from a few years ago before she tore the ACL. She was the best player out of this young batch, and now she's back. And it'll be interesting to see how she fights for a starting role on this team. Even though she's still recovering from an ACL injury, she's just stepped in for Chelsea and looked flawless, and she's now getting integrated, or rather reintegrated, into the US team, and it'll be interesting to see how she does. Lasalle, on the other hand, has a lot of experience in comparison to most of this roster, which may be funny considering she's not even old in retrospect of soccer. But having that World Cup experience is going to be so influential. And again, another player who I just don't see how you can leave off the field. The most explosive and creative player in U.S. soccer. You can't tell me otherwise. Love Bethune. She's just not at that level yet. Bethune will be at that level in a few years, and but at the end of the day, Lavelle is the better choice, I will have to admit. I don't care if she hasn't been playing as consistently. She's been playing 90 minutes for the last few weeks, and she's looked like the best player on this Gotham team. And I talk a lot about this a lot of the time, and there's a lot of solid players then. We saw, like, Delaney Sheehan is a solid player, but you see the upgrade when a player like Lavelle and Dunn come in for Sheehan and Ryan. And that's no disrespect to Sheehan and Ryan, who are good players, but there's a difference between being good and great. And a lot of people ask, why is X, Y, and Z not called the U.S. team? It's exactly because of that. And this U.S. team, it's a level above. The player off that roster, not talking about the alternates, but the person who, like, misses the alternate spot, they're good, but they don't have that greatness that the rest of the team does. I mean, obviously Morgan's an exception because of how much she's played for the team, but not in form right now. And overall, someone like Lavelle is just going to be that DNA, that player who will inspire the next generation, and also just really dominate and just make midfields look silly. She can run by you. She can shoot from wherever. Her goal against San Diego, if you're a Lavelle hater, watch that goal because she's great. And speaking of Gotham FC counterparts, I talked about her earlier, but Crystal Dunn. People complain, why is someone on this roster instead of Morgan... Okay, I'm infuriated whenever I see these comments because this is an 18-player roster with 16 field players. That means that it's a starting 11 of 10 players, and then field players, rather, with 6 of them being on the bench. That means that pretty much everyone is going to play every single game. Yeah, only 2 players won't play in each match if they use the maximum amount of 5 subs, which they should because of the constant turnover in between matches being so short. Dunn's versatility is unparalleled to anyone in U.S. soccer, period. Dunn's ability to finish in front of goal and be one of the best defenders is unparalleled, period. You cannot convince me otherwise. The fact that she does so much for this team in regards not just to her versatility, but her output is crazy. I get that she will obviously be overshadowed sometimes by players like Morgan and Rapinoe in previous generations at the 2019 World Cup because those players are great as well. But they're great at the thing that they do. Dunn, you could throw her anywhere on the field, probably not goalkeeper because she's shorter. But I'm serious that if I had to choose one player to play multiple positions in different games, it would be Crystal. And that versatility, as I said, that's not something you can just find a player. It's not common at all. It's like finding a gem. And it's not just a gem that looks like a lot of different things. That's not a great analogy. I get it. But it is a gem that is going to be so valuable for this team wherever she plays. If they need someone to play on the back line, great, she can play there. No, I know it's not her favorite, but she's going to have to do it sometimes. That is great for them. But moving on to talking about some other forward lines, we talk about Croy Bethune a little bit. Hirschfeld, obviously, good player, but I get why she didn't make the team. There's a lot of other talent on this roster. I don't think that she has the experience internationally to do it at that level. Bethune has just been playing at such a high level in NWSL, and so is Hirschfeld. But I get why Hirschfeld's an alternate just because there is that versatility. But I don't think that Bethune can be someone who could be replicated, her style of play. And yeah, just wanted to clarify that. But moving on to the forward line again with the alternates, Lynn Williams, an alternate. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not surprised. When you look at this front line, Trittany, Sophia, and Mal are an automatic lock front three. I'm not gonna talk about them too much. They have, because they are just amazing together. We talked about them in a lot of previous episodes, so listen to all our previous USA episodes, because Trittany, Sophia, and Mal just work well together. They almost have, like, the same DNA in a lot of ways. They play off each other so, so well, so that's not going to ever be taken away. Jaden Shaw, obviously, is not missing this roster either, considering how she's been in such good form for the national team. She's really just stepped in, another dynamic player. So that leaves one forward spot, and it was always going to be between Dunn and Morgan, because they're the ones with the most international experience, and Hayes opted for Dunn due to her versatility. So even though I love Lynn Williams, on an 18-player roster, there's not a lot of space for many people, and unfortunately, due to her ongoing injury struggles, she wasn't able to make it this time. Love you, Lynn. Amazing person. I've had the privilege to meet her multiple times, but I just really didn't see where she would fit into this team because of how her versatility isn't at the same level as Crystal, and she also doesn't have the same experience as Alex and internationally. And also, her performance internationally has not been as good as her performance at club level, which has been concerning, and she's been given chances. It's just she hasn't really gotten that same preference for this roster due to that fact. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about this front line and this trio, right? Rodman, Smith, and Swanson don't just work together coincidentally. It's not because they've played together for a long time. They haven't. None of those things are true. It's because of the way that they play works so well off each other. Trittany is so good at beating defenders 1v1. Same thing with Mal, who I will say, talk about a little bit later, because she's a little bit of a different player. Trittany, you know, great at what she does, good at beating players 1v1, can cut inside and shoot. She has a little bit more room to grow, in my opinion. She's not as polished as Mal, which is obviously makes sense because she hasn't had that same experience internationally, but she's growing and she's getting better every time I watch her play. The one concern is she only has 7 goals in 38 games internationally, so I'd like to see that rate go up, please, because that's not great, but she's getting better every single game. I love her explosivity on the ball, which obviously is another thing that makes her unique. And I think with this roster, every player on the team, they have to have some sort of factor. And there are some people in the roster, Corbin Albert, who don't have that exact factor, but it's going to be good for them to grow. And I think for someone like Albert, obviously, she'll have that chance to grow on this team, hopefully, not just physically, but with her treatment of her teammates. But anyway, getting back to the trio up top, I would love to see Rodman be a little bit more clinical in front of that. She's obviously shown more signs of that this season at club level, but it hasn't translated internationally yet. So positive, optimistic growth mindset. So let's hope that she can embody that and start having more of an output on the team. Sophia has done a good job internationally, but she hasn't been great. At club level, she scores nonstop, but internationally, for some reason, there's almost like a block, a mental block. It doesn't even look like she's a bad player, just her finishing could be a little bit better in front of net. I love that the combination, the build-up, she's gotten a lot better, and that playing that final pass, and when she was younger, she was great at finishing, but she wasn't a player who could also play that pass if she was getting marked. And I think, especially considering she's one of the big forwards of this team, she's going to get marked a lot. So it's going to be good for her to lay the ball after. And now a player who even Megan Rapinoe proclaimed to be the best on this team, it's Mal. Mal Swanson is just, I don't know how to describe it, but the perfect player, not just for Emma's system, but just the perfect player, period. How good she is on the ball is insane, but her passing is great. She can finish. She can do anything as a forward. And the reason why Chicago is good, even though the roster is really, really bad, it's because of Mal and because of Alyssa. It's those two players, really. And I guess Sam Staub and a few others we go into. But that offense is catapulted by Miss Swanson and Miss Swanson pretty much only. And that translates internationally because of how she needs to be so clinical at club level and create chances for herself. When she's playing with better players internationally, it's just like, it almost looks like it's like a firework that can just explode because it was contained on club level because she wasn't able to be as creative. She has to finish for herself. She has to be a little more selfish at club level, but now that she's at the international side, she can play those balls to Mal. She can play those balls to Trittany on the switch. She can play it to the midfield. She's just honestly someone who this team wouldn't be able to succeed without, because we saw at the World Cup how they really struggled in front of net. Mal was the player who was obviously balling out before the World Cup, having a goal for an average for every game that she'd played in. So it really just is amazing for this side, and especially for Emma, who is already under a lot of flame for making a decision, which I don't think was the wrong one, leaving Alex off the roster when she hasn't been in great form. But we're going to need to see Mal cranking those goals in the back of the net. So now that we've talked about the roster, I wanted to end this episode by talking a little bit quickly about the Morgan controversy. Do I think it's a controversy? No. I do think that her leadership is needed, and I do agree with the fact that there aren't as many leaders on this team as there was in the past. But at the same time, there are a lot of players who haven't had to take on the leadership roles because there have been players like Alex and Megan that are ready to do so. And I'm going to name a few. First of all, I think that Crystal Dunn is a player who can easily be a leader for this team. She is not just someone who is a vocal player. She's a little more timid. You know, she isn't the loudest player, and someone like Pino who can really embody and kind of make the locker room crazy and embody what this team was built on. But Crystal embodies it in a different way, I would feel like. The old USA team, it was loud. It was kind of obnoxious in a good way. It was that, like, togetherness and, like, arrogance of, like, we're going to win and we're going to do better, and which is why the old team was so, so great, right? They came into every game knowing they were going to win. We knew that about this old USA team. And when I say old USA team, I mean like 2015 through 2019. And now the world is caught up, per se. It has. That narrative is kind of stupid in a lot of ways, but it is true. The base of it. So for someone like Crystal to have a chance to be leader, it's really great. Obviously, there's not a lot of veterans on the roster besides Crystal, Lindsay, and Alyssa. I would say even Rose is a veteran now, maybe. Not really, but she's there. I think it's time for some younger players to really step up, and I'm going to talk about the center back pairing in Davidson and Girma. Tierna is a quiet leader, but on Gotham, where she's more than the captain's armband, we can see how she can control pitch. And the same thing with Nay. She, Naomi Girma, as I'm talking about right now, if you don't get that yet, but Nay is just someone who is not just good on the ball, but she almost orchestrates an attack a few steps ahead, which is why I love her on this team, because of how this back line is going to need to play with the ball a little more, and she'll be able to do that. So there is leaders in the making. I do agree with the fact that there aren't as many leaders that have been like at the forefront of this team and for leadership, but there are players who will now have a chance to be leaders. It wasn't always just Alex and Megan who had that leadership capability. It was just that they didn't have to do that because Alex and Megan were the face of the team. They were the ones that were getting the press thrown at them. And obviously, you don't want young players like Tierna and Naomi to have to deal with that. And you want them to be shielded from it to an extent. But at the end of the day, they're leaders on the pitch and they're continuing to shine with that. And so I hope that they can be given more responsibility in this campaign looking towards the future as they become the center back duo that the USA fans will know and love for the future to come. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Women's Soccer Podcast. I'm your host, Liam Greco, and I'm telling you to follow this podcast wherever you listen to your podcast, because we will have content coming twice a week on this feed as the Olympics approach, as the transfer window continues to kick off. There's been a lot of stuff happening so far, and trust me, we're planning a huge episode about that, which will be launching soon. There is club competition coming ahead of us, so there's so much exciting action on the pitch, and you need some place to debrief it off the pitch, and we hope that the Women's Soccer Podcast can become your place for that. So please follow us, leave a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast, again, to make sure that our podcast can continue to grow and you can support small women's soccer podcasts as we strive to grow the game worldwide. And while you're at it, you can leave a women's soccer related question that I can answer on my podcast, or just a personal question, whatever you want to ask your host is, I guess, in play, as long as it's, you know, podcast related. So thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend. Peace out from your host, LDG. Bye. See you next time.